Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by London's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Not too bad, Chris. Obviously, I am the top Japan enthusiast, and now I have a certificate to prove it, thanks to one of your kind listeners.
Yes, we one of you guys created a bespoke, wonderfully handcrafted and laminated certificate of Japanophilia, which sounds absolutely dreadful when you say it out loud, but it's impressive. We need to get a photo of that on your Twitter, Pete, so we can share that magical moment with the world. Well, check out Pete's Twitter or my Twitter in the next day or so, and you will see it. Happy Pete Donaldson clutching his certificate of Japanophilia certificate.
I like the idea that I'm clutching it. You make me sound like a little raccoon or something eating a waffle.
What does it say on it? Do you remember?
I can't remember. Like, you said certified Japanophile. It was, you know, that scene in Parasite where the younger teenage daughter falsifies some documents from a university. It looked that good.
Brilliant. Oh, where have you put it? Where are you going to put this? You've waited 2 years for the certificate. So
I know.
Where can it possibly go?
Well, I'll level with you, Chris. I've still got a lot of washing to do from my Japan trip that ended not a week ago. So it's still in my case, to be honest. I've not opened my case to witness the horrors of my dirty pants.
Haven't you been back like 2 or 3 weeks now?
I've been back for 2 weeks. Yes, that is true. But
and your washing is still sitting there. Festering away.
I'm a busy man. I'm a busy man. Gosh darn it!
Oh,
but
my Lord.
I think it's worth sort of reminding people what actually is happening here. If this is the first time you ever heard the Abroad Japan podcast, I'm in London. Chris is in Japan, and every single week, without fail, for the last 2 years, we've been recording a podcast about Japan, life in Japan, what Chris is up to, what the Japanese people are up to, what's in the news in Japan, and what I've got to show for it is a lovely laminated certificate, and I, for one, think that is adequate payment.
Although you have been cheating a little bit recently by coming to Japan for like 2 weeks. And,
yes.
Obviously, I was with you back in the UK as well.
Yeah.
So it's been a weird year so far, having
really
you
has.
Break the fourth wall, so to speak, and join me on my fishing trips in North Japan. Or sitting in the 80s bar in Sendai, living the high life.
Well, since I've been back, I edited a little video of my own. I've given up being a clickbait Japanese vlogger, and now I'm going to be one of those guys who reviews premium airline experiences. We all watch them. We all pretend we don't, but they're always sort of investment bankers who are going from Australia to Hong Kong or Hong Kong to Doha or Doha to England / Frankfurt. And we watch them and we love the plush seats they all sit in. And they really are fantasy fodder for a lot of us men of certain ages.
Well, let's just do a quick recap, because you might recall, ladies and gentlemen, about a year ago, Pete Donaldson launched his very own YouTube channel, and he made a video called 50 Things to Do in Japan. Am I right?
I think so, yeah.
And then the video, did it go viral? No, it didn't, did it?
But no, I mean, you helped me with your much larger YouTube following.
Do you know how many subscribers you've got now?
Didn't we say 20? Did we say 20,000? I think we said 20,000.
That's no, you don't. You don't have 20,000.
I thought we. I thought that's what you said. I don't know how to. I don't know how to look at it.
You've added an extra zero.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said that I had 20,000. Sorry. I don't.
Maybe 20,000 views.
Oh yeah, 20,000 views, 2,000 subscribers. That sounds about right. That was the last one. Sorry, apologies.
And then you've just followed it up with your, and it's a 3-minute video of you. The video was billed as a review of a ANA. Business class seat.
Yeah,
I was very excited
was.
To click on it and learn about
it. I review flights now,
and
I
yet,
said.
The majority of the 3-minute video is you reviewing a range of rice cookers at Tokyo Haneda Airport.
Why, Chris,
a little bit misleading.
Why, Chris, are there so many rice cookers available for sale at Tokyo Haneda Airport? Now, these are full-size rice cookers, and there must have been about 20 of the buggers. Why or how are you going to get a full rice cooker onto a flight? There were shower heads for sale. You could buy, like, a fancy shower head. There you go, my dear, my loved one. It's a new shower head that I bought at an airport. Who are these people who are buying rice cookers and shower heads?
It would be quite the exotic gift to take back to the UK. Usually, when I run through a Japanese airport back to the UK, I'm taking, you know, like sake or sake-flavoured Kit Kats.
Banana
just anything with
biscuits,
sake in it.
Kit Kats.
Banana biscuits and sake. Mm. But now, I can add a whole new dimension to that gift-giving process by getting a rice cooker. I wonder. I'd love to see someone actually buy one. Mm. But it was an interesting review. We didn't see too much of the seat itself.
No.
How was your... We talked about it last week, how much you love this seat. Mm. If you do want to go and check it out, what's the title of the video, Pete? And what's the name of your channel? Because you've changed it again.
It used to be called Travel Clickbait Farts, and now it's called right. I Review Planes Now. I've vault fast. I've changed up my YouTube, so now I review planes. I think every year I'm going to do a video because that's the regularity of the videos I've released so far. And it's just going to be me changing my channel every year to something a little bit different and a little bit more stupid. So I think it's called I review planes now.
I review planes now. Mm. An absolute master of branding there. Mm. Changing the name once a year and releasing a video once a year. Well done.
Like PewDiePie.
Pat yourself on the back. maybe it's a good thing you are in the podcast game and not a YouTuber.
Because I would question the best.
If that would work.
I'd probably start rewriting the rules, Chris. I'd probably start rewriting the rules, mate.
Yes, it would certainly be an interesting experience to witness what would happen. I would actually quite be curious to see what would happen if you did start a YouTube channel and run with it. But there you go. Speaking of running from it, you did run away just in time from the coronavirus before that all kind of took off, didn't you? That is a big thing going on at the moment here. A lot of you guys listening in have been sending us questions about the coronavirus this whole week, this whole month. Mm. And while we did cover it extensively in last week's episode, and I would advise you to go back and have a listen because we talked about how it's affected Japan in so many different ways, not just economically. Obviously, there's been a 40% drop in tourism, given that 30% of Japan's overseas tourists come from China.
Yeah.
But also, what else happened? Yes, flu. We had the number of cases of flu dropped as well, right?
Mm.
Do you remember that, Pete?
Yes, that's right, because people are obviously wearing masks more, so people are getting flu less. Probably people were getting involved in the flu vaccine as well. I think in many ways the kind of update we gave last week about the flu virus was in a situation where it was kind of peaking and we were sort of seeing how limited the effect has been on Japan, but I think the kind of Japanese psyche has kind of changed this week, and now everyone's a lot more scared of outsiders and things like that. And although most of the cases in Japan are in the boats off the coast of Japan, there's only 146 confirmed cases, and I don't think there's any deaths on the Japanese mainland. 146, and South Korea's been hit quite hard, but again, quite a limited effect for countries that are right next to China and have a lot of Chinese tourism and a lot of people coming back and forth.
Absolutely. And what I will say is I think Japan is more prepared than most countries in the world for such an outbreak. Japanese people are already incredibly hygienic, and the country itself is thoroughly sterile. Like, there's no rubbish or litter on the streets, no chewing gum on the pavement, thank God. People take illnesses very seriously.
Yeah.
What I found when I was working as a teacher is it was quite hard to get a day off at work, especially spontaneously.
Yeah.
You have to do it really kind of long term. You have to sort of plan weeks ahead.
All me kidneys.
But the one get out free jail card, the one time no one will ever question it. If you say, oh, I'm sick today, they'll be like, all right, bye. And they don't want it because it is a collectivist culture. There's a real emphasis on not spreading an illness or getting other people sick or causing inconvenience for others, and so they take illnesses very seriously. So Japan's already top of the list for countries that handle illnesses well, and now it's kind of even higher up the list. And I and going back to influenza, they've got the numbers. Last year there were 129,000 cases. This year, just 44,000 as a result of people changing their kind of habits, washing their hands more, wearing masks, avoiding crowds. And I was in Tokyo just a few days ago, and I did notice a huge drop in the number of tourists and in just crowds in general. Usually, when I get through Tokyo Station, and it's a nightmare. You've probably passed through Tokyo Station before, Pete. It's chaos,
busy,
isn't it? It's insane. And you have to kind of brush through loads of people. This time, though, it was actually bearable. I didn't get swept away in a never-ending sea of people. It was rather pleasant. We've had some people send in their comments and stories. Many people still obviously travelling Japan. One from Andrew from Toronto says, hey, Chris and Pete, currently listening to the podcast while travelling on the Shinkansen to Kyoto. The virus did seem to affect tourism around Japan, especially for places normally packed like Akihabara or the Sensoji Shrine. And Sensoji Temple, for those of you who don't know, is like the busiest temple in Japan. It's right slap bang in the middle of Tokyo. He continues, nevertheless, it gave me the chance to explore Japan without feeling overwhelmed during my first trip, and I'm loving everything with this beautiful country. P.S. Cheap sake has been the major highlight in Japan, along with some super nice locals. Much love, Andrew. I've got quite a few friends coming to Japan in April. For some reason, I've got four or five friends visiting me for the first time, and they've all decided to descend upon Japan in April, and they've obviously been asking me questions. Is this a bad situation? Should we cancel our long-awaited and expensive trips? And I've been saying no, stick it out, unless something really bad does happen, unless it really does take off, because in many ways there's been no better time to visit Japan. The number of tourists are down dramatically, hotels are cheaper, flights are cheaper. This is a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime moment to actually visit Japan potentially.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on that, Pete?
It's kind of it's a double-edged sword. Obviously, the coronavirus is incredibly serious, but on the other side, the mania that comes along with it, perpetrated by a lot of newspapers and a lot of media organisations, is problematic and frequently quite racist. You've got people being attacked in the streets in Chinatown, in places like London. I'd make the point that I came back from Japan a week and a half ago, probably at the height of the coronavirus outbreak, and my friend who went to Venice at the weekend, he's having to be quarantined or self-quarantined because he came back from Italy. So the BBC, the government is reporting that anyone coming back from Italy, anywhere north of Pisa, should self-quarantine for a week.
Wow.
So it's kind of there are different government advice. There's different government advice going around. Different governments are dealing with it differently. But yeah, that's apparently the report out of Italy, and I would say it's an excellent time to visit Japan. I don't know how insurance works. I don't know how health insurance would work, but I imagine you would be covered if you just get a general insurance. I imagine the travel insurance hasn't updated to include coronavirus specifically, but I think health insurance that would be covered in a blanket health insurance policy. Depending on who you go with.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, so I would say the big question is, should you still visit Japan in the next few months if you have got a trip planned or if you're thinking of planning a trip? I would say if you've already got a trip planned, go ahead with it. Do it. I think it'll be fantastic. If you haven't planned a trip, then just keep an eye on the news.
Yeah.
See how you feel. I do know that South Korea, which is currently seeing a bit of a spike. I think you mentioned there were 800 cases reported just this week. And I think the US recently upped their level at which now they're advising tourists to just avoid South Korea altogether, apart from essential travel.
Yeah.
Japan's not at that level yet, because most of the cases, again, as you mentioned, are on the boat. But do keep an eye on that. That might be the only cause for concern if that level goes up and if the number of infected goes up in Japan. But for the most part, I'd say it's okay for now. I think it's still pretty okay. And I go about my daily life without noticing anything particularly different, apart from the increase in number of masks and spray as well, alcoholic sprays. Somebody pointed out to me they're called sanitizers. I've been calling them alcoholic sprays. I like that. I think that sounds cooler.
Sounds like
alcoholic
a spritzer.
Spray. Yeah, spritzer. Wash your hands off with a spritzer. But fear does often bring out the very worst in humanity. And there was a story this week, as a result of the coronavirus, a ramen shop in Tokyo, in Ueno, not too far from the aforementioned Sensoji Temple, decided to become a Japanese-only ramen shop. They put a sign out the front saying, from today, as measures against coronavirus, my restaurant is Japanese only. I have a responsibility to protect my family, employees and regulars to my store. Please note, there is no discrimination. And he put that at the front of his shop and the Twitter basically exploded.
Right.
Some people defending him, most people not defending him. I love the last line. Clearly, after a rampant paragraph of discriminatory comments, he rounds it off with, please note, there's no discrimination. Don't worry about it. Despite the,
the thing I've just said.
The message he's written is all in Japanese, apart from the one line, Japanese only.
Right.
Typical, isn't it? But, you know, the responses to this have been quite good. You know, people have pointed out viruses. One of the top replies was, viruses don't choose nationality. What you do to protect your family is discrimination at the moment. Or what if you close the store until there is, you know, until all Japanese... At the moment, Japanese people are the highest number of affected people in Japan, right? So
yeah.
It seems a little bit odd, a little bit hypocritical.
There was a great little sign in a... I think it's the Ninja Castle, or a Ninja Castle. I mean, you know these kind of like... we're not talking a UNESCO heritage site, but like there'll be like a little castle and they'll say it's a Ninja Castle where all the ninjas hang out. There was a lovely little sign that was outside in one of the towns in Japan. Eliminate corona discrimination. We welcome everyone, so foreigner and, of course, Chinese too. The bad thing is the virus, not you, who came to Japan. So come with peace of mind, Ninja Castle. I would say that ninjas do protect themselves quite well from airborne toxic viruses because they are dressed like ninjas, so they would be relaxed about the situation.
The heartwarming philosophy of the ninja.
Yes, exactly.
That is a nice story. This guy's not the only person. There was a candy shop that banned all Chinese customers altogether last month over coronavirus fears. What I would say is, you know, I don't really bear this man any ill will. I'm sure he's just a nice, normal person. He released a video kind of trying to defend himself as to why he's done this, but it didn't work, really. He just came off looking like a bit of a dick. But I understand, you know, there's a lot of fear and paranoia around this subject, and I feel a better course of action would have just been to do as the Ninja Castle did and to just sort of say... If you've been overseas or if you're feeling a bit ill, be vigilant and maybe don't come in, you know, something like that. Rather than opening up this Pandora's box of shit, as I like to call it. I don't even know what that means. No Japanese, right? Japanese only, sorry. I always find, like, what does that mean if you're kind of mixed race Japanese, where if you don't necessarily look Japanese, because only one of your parents is Japanese, would you then be turned away despite being born and raised and fluent in Japanese? I don't know.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? I mean,
just a nightmare, isn't it?
But the Japanese can travel as well. You know, he's trying to limit his exposure to his family to foreign influences and influenza in this case. And but he's probably going about it in perhaps the wrong way. But you, protect yourselves if you want to run a ramen shop and wear. You know, lots of protective materials.
Run a ramen shop.
Yourself and just understand that you are a public service and you can't discriminate. And I'm almost certain that you, under state or prefecture law, you can't discriminate. So He's probably been a bit naughty there, and he'll probably get his collar felt by some legal representative from the government.
Well, yeah, in I think 2016, Japan passed the Discriminatory Act, although I don't think there's any consequences for it. You just get a slap on the wrist, but nothing really happens. And people are discussing whether or not this would qualify under those kind of guidelines. I suspect probably not. I suspect he'll get away with it. Mm. But there will be long-term damage to his business. And if you look at the Google reviews on his ramen shop, and it just sort of, you know, there's somebody that says, I can't say anything about the ramen because I can't try it here because I'm not Japanese and this place doesn't allow non-Japanese.
It's good that the internet have piled in, because that solves everything, doesn't it? People piling in.
Well, there's quite a few reviews in Japanese as well, just sort of saying, this is a racist ramen shop, don't go here. So he's tarnished his potential long-term reputation. And I think that's a foolish move, and I think he's quite naive. I don't think he's a bad person, just naive and dumb.
A lot of restaurants that I go to in Shibuya and Shinjuku, they've all got a theme. If it's not like a hospital or a prison or, I don't know, like a maid cafe, that could be your thing. You could be the racist cafe where you don't let anyone in. Not even the Japanese.
The racist cafe.
Everyone's got an angle.
The marketing genius behind I Review Planes Now has struck again with his brand new concept of racist cafe.
Racist ramen.
Fun for all the family.
I think he shouldn't be allowed to use any spices or anything that came from anywhere else in the world. Like, he shouldn't be allowed to use anything that hasn't been created, crafted and grown in his part of Japan.
Do you know where ramen comes from?
Where does ramen come from?
Comes from China. It's a Chinese dish.
Oh, no! He's mugged himself right off there.
He shot himself in the foot there.
He's going to have to sell soup.
I think you and I should go down to Tokyo and pay him a visit, put him in a video, like show a scene of you trying to burst through the door and be like, I'm not Japanese, way, and see what he does. He would be terrified.
Like
you bursting in, swinging a rice cooker around.
Rice cooker? I'll cook my own food.
Oh boy!
Oh dear!
There you go, silly devil. Oh. Yeah. But hopefully, you know, he's a one-off. That's a one-off situation, and the candy shop, admittedly, that banned Chinese people. But not really. It's not a widespread thing. That is a rare case. A rare case study, of course. Mm. I don't think that reflects on most Japanese people. I don't feel like it has unleashed a wave of racism here. I think it's a bit of an outlier, a bit of a rare situation, but. Mm. Yes, hopefully he sees the error of his ways and reposts a video about that, but...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Let's now turn our attention to speedy vocab, speedy Japanese.
Mm.
And let's learn the word for discrimination,
oh,
given how we've just mentioned it so thoroughly. Do you know what the word for discrimination is in Japanese?
To discriminate. I don't actually, but I've got a feeling to make it work properly, we'll have to add the suffix suru, like everything else.
You're getting good at this.
Yeah.
Yes, the noun for to discriminate is sabetsu. So if you put suru on the end, sabetsu suru, that means to discriminate.
Sabetsu suru.
And if you want to, admittedly, this is a tough word this week. It's so long, not even I know if I could say it. But discrimination against race.
Right.
You take the word sabetsu, and in front of that you put jinshu, which means race of
right.
people. So jinshu sabetsu.
Ah.
That means discrimination against race.
Well, it's like egresu jin des. Egresu jin des is English person. Jin is person, isn't it?
Yeah, good. There you go.
There you go.
Yes, you are getting good at this.
Mm.
Yeah, jin, person, shu means kind of variety. So jin shu,
ooh,
kind of race of people, variety of people, sabetsu, to discriminate. And the guy in question, I think his name was Kinchan, the happy owner of the ramen shop, who is a racist. He used the word kazoku, and I've just given the game away. He used the word family in his tweet, and now I've told you the answer.
Kazoku.
To Kazuku. That word.
I have to look after my kazoku.
I think you already knew that, though. You probably knew that.
I didn't actually know. Kazoku.
Okay.
Kazoku. No. There you go.
Kazoku. Yes, family.
Yeah.
Good word to know. Right, let's turn our attention to the fax machine.
Start
what
the
have
fax
we got
machine!
This week, Mr. Donaldson?
The fax machine is hot and warm. I've filled it with toner cartridges, and it's ready to spit out some messages. Hey, Chris and Pete. I'm currently writing to you from my desk job, where I'm saving up to move to Japan to learn Japanese and find a new job. All of my colleagues and friends already know about these plans and are really excited for me, but there's one group of people I've yet to tell about this. My family. Ooh, my kozoku. Seeing how...
There you go, yes.
Seeing
yes,
how especially...
Speedy vocab.
Seeing how especially my parents and grandma responded very nervously to me announcing I'm going on holiday there for a month last summer, I'm afraid they're going to be even more worried when they learn about my plans to live there. How did you tell your family you were moving to Japan, Chris? Do you have any tips on how to handle telling them I'm planning on moving to a country I've only been to once? Thanks in advance, Emil from the Netherlands. Ooh, I'd leave off telling them for the next few weeks, to be honest, Emil.
Yeah, don't tell them now. Bloody hell. Could be a worse time.
Mm.
I'm so happy. So happy the word family came up in that. And we could use kazoku. I wonder if any of the other questions in the podcast have sabotaged, if they have discrimination this week. But hopefully not. On the subject of moving to Japan and telling your family, I think my family didn't believe me. Just because it was so random. As I've mentioned before, my moving to Japan for me was quite a random and unexpected experience. I had talked about it on and off for like 3 or 4 years, but my family never took me seriously because we didn't really have any tangible links to Japan.
Right.
It was kind of something I just thought would be quite fun and I went along with. And I think the only point it dawned on them that I was going was when I was literally packing my suitcase and being like, right, going to Heathrow now. Anybody want to come and say bye? And they were like, oh, you're actually going? I was like, yeah, off to Heathrow. off, like now, 5 p.m. flight. And they were like, oh, right, well, good luck with that. Have fun. And that was pretty much it. You know, the thing is, thanks to technology, the miracle of technology, We have moved beyond fax machines in the real life world. And we do have Skype, and we do have Facebook and messages and WhatsApp. So I never feel that far away from my family, because I could be in a rice field 8,000 kilometres away cycling on a nice sunny afternoon, and my phone will go off and it'll be my mum or my dad or my sister wanting something from me, and I can quickly respond to them as if they're there. Yeah. So it's, I don't get homesick, and I don't find they've ever been that bothered by it. But certainly as the years go by, and I've been away 7 years now, I do feel a slight sense of guilt for living so far away from my family. And that is why I do return to the UK at least twice a year now, just so I can feel like I can be a part of the family and not just completely run away to the other side of the world. So that's something I'll say. But other than that, you know, as long as your family understand why you're going, Emil, to Japan, then, you know, if they are sad, just Skype them loads. Just Skype once a week. I do know a lot of people that Skype their family weekly. And I do it at least once every couple of months.
Here we go.
But, I talk to them quite a lot, messages.
Yeah.
Best of luck with that, Emil, and do it. Go for it, though. Go and move to Japan. Just wait until the coronavirus thing's blown over.
Yeah.
We've got one now from Erin, who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Greetings from Maryland."
Ooh.
Where's Maryland in the US, Pete? Do you know about? North, right?
It's Maryland, because we have Maryland Chicken as like a kind of like an off-brand KFC. I'm thinking the South.
Probably. You look that up and I'll read the question
okay.
then. I'll be moving to Japan, says Erin. I'll be moving to Japan in April for a year for work, and I'm using different programs to try and learn Japanese, both speaking and reading. I'm having trouble with learning kanji characters as quickly as I'd like. I was wondering if there are any kanji learning tools you would recommend. Ideally, I'd like something that breaks down the meaning, the different radicals used to make them up, and how to write them, and when to use the different pronunciations. You want it all, don't you, Erin? I was hoping for something I can either download or in a book form, and I'll be travelling a lot and don't want to be dependent on having internet or cell reception. Any recommendations would be welcome. Thanks, guys. Erin. And before I answer, where's Maryland, Pete?
I was looking for a kanji book. It Brilliant. Is near Delaware.
Delaware. Where's Delaware, Pete?
It's sort of like in... It's that bit, like, weird bit below New York. It's like, you know, yeah, it's like kind of Washington it's like Washington kind of area.
Brilliant.
Yeah, cool.
That is where I thought it was.
North of Virginia,
about that.
West of Philadelphia.
This is quickly turning into a fantastic geography lesson. It's
yeah,
the benefit
me,
of the Abroad Japan podcast.
Nobody else.
You learn everything about Japan and also stuff about Maryland as well.
Yeah.
Any ideas on that question, though, Pete? Any thoughts? Because you're somebody who's been studying kanji characters on and off for years. Do you have any kind of input, any answers there on how to
I do
learn
have
kanji
a book,
characters?
But I can't remember. It's a visual kanji book. I can't seem to find it on Amazon. But hilariously,
the big book
my
kanji.
Amazon search results are suggesting that I buy a rice cooker. So there is that. But there's a visual kanji book. Maybe I'll get back to that person on that. I'll send them an email. But yeah, there's plenty of resources, and they're all kind of... they'll all sort of like have like details about radicals and stuff, and they'll all be like they'll have like imagery based around it. Oh, that looks a little bit like a tree. That looks like a mountain. It's fine for the simpler radicals and the simpler kanji. But once you start to get a bit more detail, you're like, my God, I've not a clue how this all fits together.
Yeah, it's a long task. It's probably the most difficult part of learning Japanese. It is,
yeah.
And for me, I felt like it was an uncrackable case. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do it. But then I stumbled across a book called Heisig's Remembering the Kanji. And everyone I know who's mastered Japanese started on that book, basically.
Right.
Anybody I know who can read and write Japanese characters started there. And it doesn't teach you the pronunciation, but it does break down the characters. And it teaches you how to use kind of imagery, as Pete just said, to kind of memorize them. And it works really well. It's a pricey book. I think it's about $25, but you can get it in Kindle form as well. But yeah, Heisig's Remembering the Kanji. And there's also a fantastic app called Human Japanese and Human Japanese Intermediate. They are paid for apps, but they are some of the best learning Japanese apps I've ever used, and you don't need the internet to use them once you've downloaded them.
Mm.
And the second one, Human Japanese Intermediate, does cover kanji characters. So those are some resources there. But hopefully that helps. But yeah, Hasig's remembering the kanji, Erin. You'll thank me later. Good luck with it and have a great time in Japan when you move in April.
If you want to learn the hiragana and katakana, Dr. Moku's stuff is pretty good on the App Store. That's how I learnt.
Dr. Moku?
Dr. Moku. He's a very interesting chap with a diverse knowledge of the language of Japan.
And cute name.
It's a very cute name. He's got a little, looks a little bit like the KFC man. The Colonel.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, he looks a bit like him.
You seem to be bringing up chicken a lot. What is this?
I'm really hungry. I've not eaten chicken this morning.
Right.
It may be the evening for you, Chris, but it is the morning for me.
I've already had my fried chicken.
You're a disgrace.
It's a bit of a ritual now. 1 hour before I record these podcasts, I literally go out to Family Mart, buy a bit of fried chicken, eat it in seconds, and then I'm ready to go, energised and ready to roll. There you go. Eric, what have we got from Eric, Pete?
We have got an email from... excuse me. We got an email from Eric. Who have we got here? Hi there. Hi there. Huge fan of both the Brawn Japan podcast and presumably the video. I think that's what Eric's trying to say there. Question. Are there bad neighbourhoods in Japan? For example, here in the USA, in most major cities, there are places you definitely would not want to travel through, especially at night. I'm sure it's similar in the UK. It's not really. Is this a thing in Japan? Are there areas you'd feel unsafe travelling through? Eric. Now, I can't answer that, but I've never been in anywhere in Japan that I felt unsafe or even alone because there's always people around.
Well, I've never really felt uncomfortable anywhere in Japan. Japan is very safe. We've covered this before. There's a podcast I think we did about a year ago talking about scams that happen in Tokyo in particular, and we mentioned two districts, Kabukicho and Roppongi, and one of our listeners had been kind of lured into this bar with a new husband. They were on their honeymoon and their drinks were laced with some sort of nasty cocktail of drugs, and they woke up later on in the street with their credit cards missing, and they'd lost about $5,000 and ruined their honeymoon, and they'd left Japan with loads of debt. So that's my only point that I would say be wary of. If you're going to Tokyo, be careful in Kabukicho or Roppongi. Don't go into any unmarked bars. Be careful what bars you go into in general. I'd only ever go into one of the bars hidden away in the buildings if, you know, a friend of mine already knew it or had an acquaintance. But avoid the street touts who will lure you in with free drinks and wonderful, amazing deals, sick deals, because they will literally be sick deals after they have put the drugs in the damn drink. Other than that, though, no other place springs to mind. There's a neighbourhood in Osaka, which I've never been to, called Kamagasaki. And it's considered to be Japan's largest slum, with a large number of homeless and day labourers with no fixed addresses. It's avoided by a lot of the locals, but popular with tourists due to cheap accommodation. But that one always comes up. But I don't think it's dangerous. I think it's just an unfortunate neighbourhood full of homeless folks. But other than that, Kamagasaki, Kabukicho and Roppongi, everywhere else in Japan is pretty safe. And it's nice to live in a country where you don't have to look over your shoulder at night in certain districts and certain neighbourhoods. It's one of my favourite things about Japan.
Indeed.
Got one from Shane. It says, "Hi Chris and Pete, love the podcast. Your podcast helps wake me up every morning while I'm driving to work at 4:30 a.m. Bloody hell, Shane, you are a legend. Well done. Pete and I did that 2 or 3 weeks ago, didn't we, Pete? We went fishing off the coast of Sendai.
We did,
and it was horrific. I don't know how I survived.
It's not that. It's not our time of the day. I think that's fair to say, is it, Chris?
No.
4:30. Oh,
I'd need way more than a podcast to survive that drive to work. Lots of coffee, probably, and fried chicken. But Shane says, my wife and I are bringing our two daughters, 6 and 4 years old, over to Japan for 2 weeks in early October this year. This will be my third time coming over. We plan on staying in Tokyo for 6 nights in an Airbnb apartment, and I was wondering where the best area to stay would be. Keeping in mind, we'll plan a day in Shibuya and Shinjuku. We'll probably be a day at the Tokyo Dome to watch the baseball and take a trip to Odaiba, and more than likely 2 days at Disneyland. Whoa, sounds like a good trip to me. So knowing how massive Tokyo is, in your opinion, where would be the ideal area to make our home base? Also, if you have any suggestions on definite things to see or do for young kids in Tokyo, Osaka or Kyoto, then it would be much appreciated. Thanks a lot, Shane." I'm going to hand that one over to you, Pete. You love Airbnb and you love things. You're quite a youthful individual.
Mm.
I'm sure you know things that kids would like.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would probably hang around sort of Harajuku. There's a great toy shop called Kiddyland, I think it's called, in Harajuku, which the kids would love.
Kiddyland.
That I've been in several times, and it's like a little Hamleys, sort of Japanese style with some stuff you just don't see anywhere else. So I'd sort of hang out that sort of side of things. Shibuya's a little bit grotty, a little bit red light district-y. That's where I usually stay, because you can get a cheap Airbnb and there's some pretty decent bars around there. But I imagine you're probably not going to be sinking a load of red eyes or cold, frosty ones constantly like I do when I go on holiday. So I'd sort of head up to Shinjuku, kind of a Yogi Park sort of area. If you can get an Airbnb around there, it might be a little bit cheaper. Osaka, just anywhere in Namba, in it, really. It's nice and in the centre. Loud. But
I would say
quite quiet.
Tokyo, Ueno is probably the best place to stay. It's really cheap. And from there, it's just a simple ride around the Yamanote line or a quick ride on the Ginza line over to Shibuya. And also, it's one of the closest parts of Tokyo towards Disneyland as well. So good access. As for stuff to do with kids, Osaka's amazing. They've got SeaWorld. And they've got Universal Studios with a life-sized, or almost life-sized scale, Hogwarts as well. So if you like Harry Potter, you can pretend you're in the wizarding world of Harry Potter.
Or you can go to the top of the Ferris wheel on the top of the Don Quixote in Namba.
Oh my God. Did I do that with you? Or with
no, you
else?
Did that with someone else. God damn it. And I wanted to go up there. But I got distracted by the hot sweet potatoes they sell.
Naturally. Yes, in the Don Quixote, the world's greatest store in Japan, there is one on the waterfront of Osaka in Namba, and they've got an old rickety Ferris wheel that was decommissioned for like a decade or something. Last time when I was in Osaka a year ago, it was open for business, and I got on it, and it was the scariest experience of my life. I don't know why. That Ferris wheel was a bit creaky and a bit dodgy. But the view over Osaka was amazing. And that would be quite a fun thing to do. Do that. Go up there. Have a great time.
It's not that rickety.
But yeah, it's terrible. I just remember how scared I was going around it at one point. I was with two other guys and they were both pretty uncomfortable as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. But do that. Have fun though, Shane, and have a great time in Japan with your kids.
Lovely.
We've got one from Betu. I'll let you read that out. I'm going to take a sip of water.
Oh, well, don't do it on mic. Hi, Chris and Pete. I've been following your Chris channel ever since the first video about your partner with Jesus Sandals, and I'm loving the content. Keep up the good work. A few weeks ago, I got selected as a fellow to the Awaji Youth Federation program to revitalise the Awaji Island starting this April. My knowledge about Japan is made up of watching anime and YouTubers. How can I better prepare myself, and what should I do after I get there? Thank you. Yours lovingly, Betu. Where is Awaji Island?
Awaji Island is just off the coast of Kobe. So you've got a really big, one of Japan's biggest bridge actually goes from Kobe over into Awaji Island. And I did feature it in a video called Japan's Greatest Castle, set in Himeji and Kobe. But it's an incredible bridge. But you'll get to go over that, Betu. That'll be the first thing you do. You get to go over the giant, awesome bridge. Mm. And Awaji Island, I've been there once. I remember there was a monkey park because everywhere in Japan needs a monkey park, doesn't it? Your favourite, Pete.
Yep.
But that's a good question. How can I better prepare myself and what should I do after I get there? Pete, you've just come to Japan. What did you do after you got here and how did you prepare yourself?
I bought a couple of masks, got on the Shinkansen, went to Niigata. How can you prepare yourself? I don't know, man. Like, just relax, have a lovely time. Hang out in Kobe, because obviously you're going to be on the island, but I mean, the city is Kobe, so just have a couple of nights out there. That'd be a lot of fun. And then, chill out for the rest of the time on your island and work hard, revitalise it. I don't know how you revitalise something. It sounds a bit churchy. Is that like a church thing? Is that what's going on?
I don't know, but I like the advice of work. I love the line,
work hard, play hard, man.
Work hard and revitalise something. That's the greatest travel advice you've ever given
yet. Work hard, play hard, baby.
200, in 2 years and 100 podcasts. My advice, Betu, is try and have a night out in Osaka and Kobe, because they are just on your doorstep. I think there's a boat that goes over from Awaji Island straight over to Osaka, and you can see Osaka from Awaji Island, given it's just across the Osaka Bay. But I would actually learn some Japanese, given you're going to be doing some serious work at this youth federation, revitalising Awaji Island. I would learn some Japanese if you haven't already. Download the aforementioned Human Japanese app, which isn't sponsored, but it should be, given how many times I've mentioned it now. Use that app to actually learn some basic Japanese so you can have some basic conversation. I think that'll really make the whole experience a lot more rewarding, a lot more fun, being able to interact with the locals. But no, above all, just enjoy yourself, embrace it, be in the moment, avoid your phone, and just enjoy every moment of it. But above all, have a bloody fantastic time, and good luck revitalising Awaji Island.
Smashing
whatever
work
that might look like. Fantastic. Keep the stories, comments and questions coming in to Abroad in Japan podcast. But for now, guys, we'll be back same time next week. But have a great week, and stay out of trouble, and avoid the coronavirus, for God.
Stay out of trouble. Sure.
Have a good one.
Bye.
A Stakhanov production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.